Okay.
Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan. Shri Govinda, Gopinatha, Madana Mohan. Jai Mankunda, Radha Kunda, King of Jaya Prashama Jaya Kirti Das Sunare Jaya Purnamasi Jaya Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama. Jacko, Honey Bo. Vishnu Pad, Panamahang Sa Paragutkacharya, Alstatana Sitashi Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chatana, Lavatavananda, Gosami, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Iskan, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anandakoti, Vaishnav, Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai, Prem Say Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadata Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikopinath Sai Mukunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Mathuram Kijai Jagannathaswami Kijai Yamuna Mai Kijai Srimati Tulasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pachani Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatate Shatani. Let me read the translation. All glories to Radha, Krishna, and the divine forest of Vrindavana. All glories to the three presiding deities of Vrindavana, Sri Govinda, Gopinath, and Madan Mohan. All glories to Shamakun, Radhakun, Govardhan Hill, and the Yamuna River, Kalindi. All glories to the great forest known as Mahavana. All glories to Keshigat, the Vamsivat tree, and the 12 forests of Braja. At these places, the son of Nanda, Sri Krishna, performed all of his pastimes. All glories to Krishna's divine father and mother, Nanda and Yashoda. All glories to the cowherd boys headed by Sridham. All glories to the cows and calves of Braja. All glories to Radha's divine father and mother, Vrishabhanu, and the beautiful Kirtida. All glories to Purnamasi, the mother of Sandipani Muni. All glories to the young cowherd maidens of Braja. All glories to Gopishvara Shiva, who resides in Vrindavan in order to protect the holy Dham. All glories to Krishna's funny Brahmin friend, Madhu Mangala. All glories to Ramagat, where Lord Balaram performed his rasa dance. All glories to Lord Balaram, the son of Rohini. All glories to all the residents of Vrindavana. All glories to the wives of the proud Vedic Brahmanas. All glories to the wives of the Kaliya serpent. Through pure devotion, they all obtain the lotus feet of Lord Govinda. All glories to the place where the rasa dance of Sri Krishna was performed. All glories to Radha and Shyam. All glories to the divine rasa dance, which is the most beautiful of all Lord Krishna's pastimes. All glories to the mellow of conjugal love, which is the most excellent of all rasas and is propagated in Braja by Sri Krishna in the form of the divine Padaki above. Remembering the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda's consort, Sri Janava Devi, this very fallen, lowly servant of Krishna sings the Sankirtan of the Holy Name. So, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. So now we're going to continue with our study of the, or reading, of the Krishna book leading up to Janmashtami and continuing after Janmashtami. So we're on chapter 3, which is basically called the birth of Lord Krishna. Of course, Lord Krishna isn't actually born. Lord Krishna appears in his same transcendental body. That we should understand. So, let us continue. So, Om Gana Timidam Dasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master's divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I'm trying to share. Let's see. There we go. Okay, let's just get this set up. So we're in the middle of the third chapter, and we are going to continue reading in the third chapter. I almost said purport. But actually, the whole third chapter is Srila Prabhupada's purport. And translation, and commentary, and everything like that on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, here we see that Vasudeva is offering prayers. Let's see some. Yes, this is the place. One has to understand your appearance with great intelligence because you're the material energy is also emanating from you. You're the original source of the material energy, just as the sun is the source of the sunshine. The sunshine cannot cover the sun globe, nor can the material energy, being an emanation from you, cover you. But you appear to be in the three modes of material energy, but actually the three modes of material energy cannot cover you. This is understood by the highly intellectual philosophers. In other words, although you appear to be within the material energy, you are never covered by it. It's very interesting. Actually, we are covered. And the example Prabhupada gives sometimes is, we sometimes say, the sun is covered by clouds. Not exactly true. The real thing is that we are covered by the clouds. So we can say that Krishna is covered by illusion. No, we are covered by illusion. Just like the sun can never be covered by a cloud. The sun would disintegrate the cloud before you could even say the word cloud. But the sun can be blocked before it reaches us by our covering. So we have to dissipate that covering. And the same way you have to dissipate the covering of Maya. And that's through the chanting of the holy names, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. We hear from the Vedic version that the Supreme Brahman exhibits his effulgence and therefore everything becomes illuminated. We can understand from the Brahma Samhita that the Brahma Jyoti, or the Brahman effulgence, emanates from the body of the Supreme Lord. And from the Brahman effulgence, all creation takes place. It is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is the support of the Brahman effulgence. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Therefore, originally, he is the root cause of everything. But persons who are less intelligent think that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes within this material world, he accepts material qualities. Such conclusions are not very mature, but are made by the less intelligent. And Krishna Gita says, Avajanandi Mamuha. Those who think that I am material, he says, they're mudhas, they're asses. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is directly and indirectly existing everywhere. Wow. He's outside this material creation, is also within it. How is that? Well, directly, he's inside the material creation in terms of the Paramatma that's in every atom. But he's outside in the sense that he never leaves the spiritual world. So both these things are happening simultaneously. That's the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I was reading the Brihad Bhagavatamrita today, and it was talking about Narada Muni's going to Krishna's various houses in Dwarka. Krishna has 16,108 wives. And in each house, he was doing something different with his family. Either playing with the kids, talking philosophy, receiving guests. So, and it's the same person. Again, that verse, Advaita Chuta Nadi Anantarupam. That's the nature of God. And simultaneously, he has all these different forms he manifests, such as Lord Bara, Lord Kurma, Matsya. And all this is happening simultaneously, unlimited manifestations, expansions, forms of the Supreme Personality of God, and they're all the same person. How How he keeps up with it, I don't know. Because he's unlimited. That's why we say God is what? A chincha. He's inconceivable. You can't really understand him. He's beyond time and space. In the Brahma Samhita, sarva karna karanam. He's the cause of all causes, but he has no cause. How's that possible? I don't know. Why? No, because he's God. But as far as understanding it, grasping it, it's not within the grasp of any body. His glories are so great that even as his expansion, Ananta Sheshi tries to come to an end of the glories or the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it's impossible. That's what it means to be God. To be God. He is God, anyway. We're using just normal English, but it's hard to use normal English correctly when describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But you can give a hint. Unlimited, infinite, infinite beauty, infinite power, beyond time and space. What does it mean, beyond time and space? I have no idea. Theoretically, I do. But practically, no. He is within this material creation. Not only is Garbhadakshay Vishnu, he's also within the atom. That's Shiradakshay Vishnu. The existence of the atom is due to his presence. Nothing can be separated from his existence. In the Vedic injunctions, we find that the Supreme Soul, or the root cause of everything, has to be searched out because nothing exists independently of the Supreme Soul. Therefore, the material manifestation is also a transformation of his potency. Parinama. That's a transformation of his potency. He doesn't become transformed. That would be inappropriate. Brahman is not transformed. But there is the potency of the Shakti. It's called Shakti Parinam. Both inert matter and the living force, the soul, are emanations from him. Only the foolish conclude that when the Supreme Lord appears, he accepts the conditions of matter. Even if he appears to accept the material body, he is still not subjected to any material condition. Krishna has therefore appeared and defeated all imperfect conclusions about the appearance and disappearance of the Supreme Personality of God. And if you remember from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would manifest his body in such ways that it was impossible. Like his arms would become elongated, or his arms would shrink up. And then when the devotees chanted Hare Krishna, he assumed his normal composure. That's not possible for someone with a material body. Because for the Lord, everything is possible. There's no question of impossibility. My Lord, your appearance, existence, and disappearance are beyond the influence of the material qualities because your Lordship is the Supreme Brahman and the controller of everything. There's nothing inconceivable or contradictory in you. And as one approaches Krishna, this is another thing I learned from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita today, that even in the Vaikuntha planets, if someone has a certain mood in approaching Krishna, let's say you were a devotee of Lord Nrsingadev, you will see Lord Vishnu as Nrsinga. Wow. That's definitely yayatamam prapajantayatam satayva bhajamiham. As you approach the Lord, he reciprocates with you accordingly. It's interesting. It's very, very interesting. Just like Lord Chaitanya looked at Lord Jagannath, and he saw Krishna playing a flute. As you have said, material nature works under your superintendence, maya jatshena prakriti suyate sa characharam, just like a government officer working under the orders of the chief executive. The influence of subordinate activities cannot affect you. Since you are the Supreme Brahman, everything is existing within you. Phew. And since all the activities of material nature are controlled by your Lordship, none of these activities affect you. So there, everything's within Krishna and not within Krishna simultaneously. Mayatatam idam sarvam jagadvyaptam murtina. It's Krishna reconciles all impossible contradictions. Anyway, and they're no longer impossible. You recall Shuklam. Shuklam, or whiteness, is the symbolic representation of the absolute truth because it's unaffected by the material qualities. Lord Brahma is called Rakta, or red, because Brahma represents the quality of passion for creation. Darkness is entrusted to Lord Shiva because he annihilates the cosmos. The creation, annihilation, and maintenance of this cosmic manifestation are conducted by your potencies. Yet you are always unaffected by those qualities. As confirmed in the Vedas, Harirhi Nirgunak Sakshat. The Supreme Personality of God is always free from all material qualities. It is also said that the qualities of passion and ignorance are non-existent in the person of the Lord. It's interesting how the colors correspond. So white, you know, white, just like when we look at white, it indicates purity. Red, passion, right? Passion. That's why generally when people get married, they wear a red sari, not a red dhoti, of course. And then black represents ignorance. This is not a racial statement. That's something different. But as far as people's favorite colors, each and every color actually indicates something. There's a an analysis. Let me turn up the volume on this. There's an analysis of colors that's sometimes called the Lusher color test. Now the volume is higher, higher, and different colors mean different things. Like my favorite color is yellow. Yellow is creativity. Yeah, I increased the volume. I think that, let me put it up a little bit more. Yeah, the volume gets automatically set low when I start chanting real loud at the beginning of the class. Now the volume is higher. Oh, right. So, my Lord, you are the supreme control of the personality of God, the supreme great, maintaining the order of the cosmic manifestation, yet in spite of your being the supreme controller, you have so kindly appeared in my home. The purpose of your appearance is to kill the followers of the demoniac rulers of the world who are in the dress of royal princes, but are actually demons. I'm sure you will kill all of them and their followers and soldiers. And as I mentioned many times before, they're like the dark side of the force, if you know about Star Wars. They're actually really demoniac entities, and they sometimes take birth on Earth in different types of families. So in the Dwarpa Yuga, that's the previous Yuga, the demons took birth in Kshatriya families, that means kings, presidents, you know, what have you. And that's why it was necessary. They're actually hiding out from the good guys on the Earth planet. So, I understand that you have appeared in order to kill the uncivilized Kunksa and his followers, but knowing that you would appear in order to kill him and his followers, he has already killed so many of your predecessors, your elder brothers. Now he is simply awaiting the news of your birth. As soon as he hears about it, he will immediately appear with all kinds of weapons to kill you. So, Vasudeva is feeling a little nervous, you know. Obviously, he knows Krishna can't be killed, but, you know, what's happening here? Kunksa's going to come. He has a little baby. I know you're Krishna. I know you're the Supreme Personality of God. He can't be killed. So, don't want to take any chances. So, after this prayer of Vasudeva, Devaki, the mother of Krishna, offered her prayers. She was very frightened because of her brother's atrocities. Brother means Kunksa. Devaki said, "My dear Lord, your eternal forms like Narayan, Lord Rama, Hayashirsha, Varaha, Nrsingha-Vamana, and Baladeva, and millions of similar incarnations emanating from Vishnu are described in the Vedic literatures as original. You are original because all your forms as incarnations are outside of the material creation." So you see, she understood so much philosophy. I mean, people were really intelligent in those days. "Your form was existing before this cosmic manifestation was created. Your forms are eternal and all-pervading. They are self-effulgent, changeless, and uncontaminated by the material qualities. Such eternal forms are ever cognizant," that means full of knowledge, "and full of bliss. They are situated in transcendental goodness," means no touch of material, selfish goodness, and are always engaged in different pastimes. You are not limited to a particular form only. All such transcendental eternal forms are self-sufficient. I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So all such forms means they're all the same person, same body, simultaneously, again and again and again. I keep making that point. So you don't think that we are a polytheist. After many millions of years, when Lord Brahma comes to the end of his life, the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation takes place. At that time, the five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, enter into the Mahatattva. Mahatattva means the material energy, the total material energy. The Mahatattva then enters by the force of time into the non-manifested total material energy. The total material energy enters into the energetic pradana, and the pradana enters into you in the form of Mahavishnu. Therefore, after the annihilation of the whole cosmic manifestation, you alone remain with your transcendental name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia. And there's evidence of God everywhere within this material world. I was just reading one scientific study of how there's a particular element that's necessary for life, at least in this world. It's called carbon, C-A-R-B-O-N. And the scientists have analyzed that there's no way this abundance of this abundance of carbon could have come about from helium or hydrogen or any of the other elements. And they're analyzing it in terms of the neutrons and the protons and the electrons and putting them together. Because, you know, from simple matter it comes more complex matter. So they're thinking there's no way it could have happened. And they cannot make it happen even in their laboratories. So you see that God is behind everything. He's in the background behind everything, planning everything out from the beginning of the material creation, where there's a balance of the different elements. Of course, in the Vedic system, we talk about the elements in terms of earth, water, fire, air, ether, and subtle mind, intelligence, and false ego. And in the modern scientific perspective, we talk about the periodic table of elements, beginning with hydrogen. You know, anyway, so either from either perspective, one can see that these different elements came about through the manifestation of a conscious design or entity who consciously designed everything. Even when we just talk about elements, not even complex life, you know, carbon. My Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are the director of the unmanifested total energy, the ultimate reservoir of the material nature. My Lord, the whole cosmic manifestation is under the influence of time, beginning from the moment up to the duration of the year. All act under your direction. You are the original director of everything and the reservoir of all potent energies. All the conditioned souls are continually fleeing from one body to another, one planet to another, and yet they do not get free from the onslaught of birth and death. But when one of these fearful living entities comes under the shelter of your lotus feet, he can lie down without anxiety of being attacked by formidable death. This statement by Devaki is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself. There the Lord says that even after traveling all over the universe from Brahmaloka to Patala Loka, one cannot escape the attack of birth, death, disease, and old age. But one who enters the kingdom of God, the Lord says, is never again obliged to come back to the material world. What a relief. Therefore, my Lord, I request you to save me from the cruel hands of Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena. Actually, Kamsa wasn't really the son of Ugrasena. He was the son of Drumila, but that's another story. I am praying Drumila, who took the form of Ugrasena and tricked Ugrasena's wife, Padmavati, to have a relationship. I am praying to your lordship to please rescue me from this fearful condition because you are always ready to give protection to your servitors. The Lord has confirmed this statement in the Bhagavad Gita. by assuring Arjuna, you may declare it to the world, my devotee shall never be vanquished. Kunteya patijani hi name bhakta prayashyati. Famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. While thus praying to the Lord for rescue, Mother Devaki nonetheless expressed her motherly affection. I understand that this transcendental form is generally perceived in meditation by the great sages, but I am still afraid because as soon as Kansa understands that you have appeared, he might harm you. So I request that for the time being you become invisible to our material eyes. So she was trying to protect Krishna because, you know, Kamsa saw a four-handed Vishnu. That's it. You know, that's his enemy. Even if you saw an ordinary child, because he would understand that child was meant to kill him. In other words, she requested the Lord to assume the form of an ordinary child. My only cause of fear for my brother Kamsa is due to your appearance. My Lord Madhusudana, Kamsa may not know that you are already born. Therefore, I request you to conceal this four-armed form of your lordship, which holds the four symbols of Vishnu, namely the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower. My dear Lord, at the end of the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation, you put the whole universe within your abdomen. Still, by your unalloyed mercy, you have appeared in my womb. I am surprised that you imitate the activities of ordinary human beings just to please your devotee. On hearing the prayers of Devaki, the Lord replied, my dear mother, in the millennium of Svayambhuvamanu, my father Vasudeva was living as one of the Prajapatis. Now he's giving the last life of Vasudeva and Devaki. His name at that time was Suttapa, and you were his wife named Prishni. At that time, when the Lord Brahma was desiring to increase the population, he requested you to generate offspring. You controlled your senses and performed severe austerities by practicing the breathing exercises of the yoga system. Both you and your husband could tolerate all the influences of the material laws, the rainy season, the onslaught of the wind, and the scorching heat of the sunshine. You also executed all religious principles. In this way, you were able to cleanse your heart and control the influences of the material laws. In executing your austerity, you used to eat only the leaves of the trees which fell to the ground. Then, with a steady mind and controlled sex drive, you worshiped me, desiring some wonderful benediction from me. Both of you practiced severe austerities for 12,000 years by the calculation of the demigods, a long time. During that time, your mind, that's determination, was always absorbed in me. When you were executing devotional service and always thinking to me within your heart, I was very much pleased with you, O sinless mother. Your heart is therefore always pure. At that time, I appeared before you in this form just to fulfill your desire, and I asked you to ask whatever you desired. At that time, you wished to have me born as your son. Although you saw me personally, instead of asking for your complete liberation from material bondage, under the influence of my energy, you asked me to become your son. Huh, what a request. In other words, to appear in the material world, the Lord selected his mother and father, namely Prishni and Suttapa, respectively. Whenever the Lord comes as a human being, he must have a mother and father. So he selected Prishni and Suttapa perpetually as his mother and father. On account of this, neither Prishni nor Suttapa could ask the Lord for liberation. Liberation is not so important as the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The Lord could have awarded Prishni and Suttapa immediate liberation, but he preferred to keep them within this material world for his different purposes, appearances, as we explain in the following verses. On receiving the benediction from the Lord to become his father and mother, Prishni and Suttapa retired from the activities of austerity and lived as husband and wife in order to beget a child who was the Supreme Lord himself. So this is the last life of Vasudeva and Devaki. In the due course of time, Prishni became pregnant and gave birth to the child. The Lord spoke to Devaki and Vasudeva. At that time, my name was Prishni Garba. That means the son of Prishni, who came from Prishni. In the next millennium, you took birth as Aditi and Kashyapa, and so there was two births back. And I became your child of the name Upendra. Upendra, of course, is Lord Vamana. At that time, my form was just like a dwarf, and for this reason, I was known as Vamanadeva. I gave you the benediction that I would take birth as your son three times. First time I was known as Prishni Garba, born of Prishni and Suttapa. The next birth I was Upendra, born of Aditi and Kashyapa. Now for the third time I'm born as Krishna from you, Devaki and Vasudeva. I've appeared in this Vishnu form just to convince you that I'm the same Supreme Personality of God had again taken birth. I could have appeared just like an ordinary child, but in that way you would not believe that the Supreme Personality of God had taken birth from your womb. My dear father and mother, you have therefore raised me many times, your child, with great affection and love, and I am therefore very much pleased and obliged to you. And I assure you that this time you shall go back home, Jai, back to God, and on account of your perfection and your mission. I know you are very concerned about me and afraid of Kamsa. Therefore, I order you to take me immediately to Gokula and exchange me for the daughter who has just been born to Yashoda. And of course, the daughter that was just been born to Yashoda was Yogamaya, the same Yogamaya who transferred Balaram Anantashesh from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb. And actually, anyway, I'll explain in a second. Having spoken thus to his father and mother, the Lord turned himself into an ordinary child in their presence and remained silent. Being ordered, okay, let's see if we're going to finish this chapter. Being ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev prepared to take his son from the delivery room, and exactly at that time, a daughter was born to Nanda and Yashoda. She was Yogamaya, the internal potency of the Lord. And actually, I should mention that Nanda and Yashoda gave birth, or Yashoda gave birth, to a daughter and a son, who is Krishna. And Krishna, who appeared as the son of Devaki and Vasudev, was an expansion. So we'll explain this later. As we hear the story of Vasudev bringing Krishna, Vasudev Krishna, to Gokula. By the influence of this internal potency, Yogamaya, all the residents of Kamsa's palace, especially the doorkeepers, were overwhelmed with deep sleep, and all the palace doors opened, although they were barred and shackled with iron chains. The night was very dark, but as soon as Vasudev took Krishna on his lap and went out, he could see everything just as in the sunlight. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said that Krishna is like sunlight, and wherever there is Krishna, the illusory energy which is compared to darkness cannot remain. That's called Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoya Andhakar. When Vasudev was carrying Krishna, the darkness of the night disappeared, all the prison doors automatically opened. At the same time, there was roaring thunder in the sky and severe rainfall. While Vasudev was carrying his son Krishna in the falling rain, Lord Shesh, in the shape of a serpent, spread his hood over the head of Vasudev so that he would not be hampered by the rainfall. Vasudev came onto the bank of the Yamuna and saw that the water of the Yamuna was roaring with waves and that the whole span was full of foam. Still in that furious feature, the river gave passage to Vasudev to cross, just as the great Indian Ocean gave a path to Lord Rama when he was bridging over the Gulf. So there's actually another story, that when Vasudev was carrying Krishna across the Yamuna, of course he was up to his waist, or even higher, you know, probably up to his neck, and he was holding Krishna on his head, that somehow or other, there's two different stories. One story is that Yamuna waves just like lapped at the lotus feet of Krishna to touch Krishna's lotus feet. Another story is that he dropped Krishna and Yamuna Devi actually wanted to hold Krishna and she gave Krishna back. And she wanted to touch Krishna's lotus feet and she gave Krishna back to Vasudev. So Vasudev, in any case, crossed the river Yamuna. On the other side, he went to the palace of Nanda Maharaj, situated in Gokula, where he saw that all the coward men were fast asleep. He took the opportunity to silently enter the house of Yashoda and without difficulty exchange his son for the baby girl newly born there. Then after entering the house very silently, we're getting to the end of the chapter, and the house very silently and exchanging the boy for the girl, he returned to the prison of Kamsa and silently put the girl on the lap of Devaki. He again clamped the shackles on himself so that Kamsa could not recognize that so many things had happened. Now, I think I should mention, as I did before, that Yashodamaya actually gave birth, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, to a boy and a girl, and that boy was Krishna in his original form. And the Vasudev Krishna was born to Devaki, and Vasudev was brought, and sort of somehow or other they're already one, but yeah, they appeared as one. And anyway, and that was the story. And then Blessedave grabbed the girl, who was Yogamaya, who had previously been used to transfer Seshanag, or Balaram, to the womb of Rohini. Hope everyone's following that. And then, so when Kamsa comes later on, as we're going to read tomorrow, he actually discovers a girl in the place where Devaki and Vasudeva were staying. So, anyway, he still wasn't satisfied. It was a girl was not supposed to kill me. Anyway, let's finish this chapter. And because we're finishing the chapter, and there's only going to be about 5 minutes left before we generally take questions, we can take questions earlier. Let's finish the chapter first. As it comes, I could not recognize there's so many things that happened. Mother Yashoda understood that a child had been born to her, but because she was very tired from the labor of childbirth, she fell asleep, fast asleep. When she awoke, she could not remember whether she had given birth to a male or a female child. Of course, this is all Yogamaya. Because, why am I saying that? Because obviously she had a midwife there too. And it was obvious it was a male or a female. But anyway, Yogamaya causes people to forget whether it was midwife or Yashodamaya, so this pastime could take place. And thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the third chapter of Krishna, the birth of Lord Krishna. And chapter 4 starts with the demons, which is very exciting because we all like demons, especially me. The demons are very exciting, and Krishna killing demons gives us great hope. And we want Krishna to kill the demon of doubt. We want Krishna to kill the demons of anarthas, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear, madness. It's interesting, we were having this discussion last night about the anarthas. Yeah, it was during the Sunday feast lecture. And one of the anarthas is madness. So madness means one actually forgets his real self-interest, both material and spiritual self-interest, when one succumbs to lust or anger or greed or fear, you know. So these anarthas, I think it was a very interesting discussion last night. These anarthas are not mutually exclusive. In other words, if you're feeling fear, that doesn't mean you're also lusty. You're not lusty or any of these other things. And if you're mad, and I use the example of madness in terms of forgetting one's self-interest. I use this example of someone who goes and gambles and loses everything, like Yudhisthira Maharaj, and even lost or gambled his wife. That's madness. That's madness. Or in Las Vegas, that happens too. You know, people gamble everything. Or in the case, the other example I utilized last night in the Sunday Peace program, was demons who had gotten the nectar of immortality by churning the milk ocean. They got the amrit. And in order to get it back from them, Krishna wanted to make them lusty. And the way he made them lusty was he appeared as the Mohini Murti incarnation. And this Mohini Murti incarnation made the demons froth in the mouth so much that they asked her to divide the nectar evenly. And even though she told them not to trust her, they didn't take it seriously because they were so much bewildered with lust. So lust is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. We just want to rub our senses on something. And we think that that's going to give us happiness. You know, rub the nose, the belly, the genitals, any of the senses, or even the mind, we want it to give us happiness by rubbing, rub, rub, rub-a-dub. And it doesn't work like that. It just makes us unhappy. In the beginning it may appear to be like nectar, but at the end it's like poison, according to Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. That's happiness in the mode of passion. You better believe it. Okay, on that happy note, which is may be happy, may not be happy. So tomorrow we'll do chapter 4. Let us stop sharing and allow you all to unmute yourselves or ask questions or type. Hold on a second. Alright. Now you're allowed to unmute yourselves or ask questions or type in the text window. Who would like to type a question? Raise your hand or unmute yourself to ask a question. Wow. Nobody has any questions tonight. Going once, going twice. Okay. Madhava.
Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. So I just wanted to understand. I just wanted to be just clear in my head. So when Krishna appeared to Mother Devaki in four-handed form, and then of course he showed 200 when they requested. So he confirmed them, and then basically he went to two-handed form. So Mother Devaki, of course, here we are reading, she did not know whether it was a male child that, because of yoga maya, she forgotten all that it was a male child or female child.
Devaki, Yashoda forgot whether it was a male child or female child.
Okay, so Devaki, then Krishna was actually born to Mother Yashoda, right? That's what you said.
Krishna was born to Yashoda and Devaki simultaneously.
So Mother Yashoda has born Krishna, and then Devaki had
twins.
The girl. Two girl and a boy. Okay.
Yes.
But Mother Yashoda only the boy Krishna. That's right.
That's right.
And only Yashoda one knew- child.
Mother Yashoda had a boy and a girl, but Devaki, only one child.
Okay. Sorry, I was confused. Yeah, that's what I wanted to know.
Confused. Yes. And Devaki was aware that when Kamsa picked up the girl to kill her, which we're going to hear in the next chapter, that the girl was not her child. She was aware that the girl was Yashoda's child, because she knew that Krishna was a male rather than female.
Oh, okay.
All right. Good question.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, Sumukh. You have a question. Your hand is up. You have to unmute yourself. Otherwise, I can't hear you.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah. Okay, my question is, I'm just wondering, I didn't read anywhere about Subhadra. Who was her parents?
Her parents, that was another, this is interesting. She was actually born from another wife of Vasudev. Vasudev had, I think, like 16 wives or something like that, or 18, or I forget the number of wives. Maybe 16 wives, yeah. So Vasudev had wives and he had children from other wives. And Subhadra was one of the children. And Subhadra is Yogamaya. So, in other words, she was also born from Yashodamayi. And then brought to Mathura, and then Kamsa tried to kill her, and she flew up in the air. I mean, anyway, we're going to hear that tomorrow, hopefully. And then she flew up in the air, and then after that, she appeared as a child from the womb of one of Vasudeva's other wives. But she was the sister of Krishna and Balaram. That's why she's the sister of Krishna and Balaram. I mean, you could say half-sister, but still sister of Krishna and Balaram, and that's why Balaram thought he had the right to arrange her marriage with Duryodhana. And Krishna sort of tricked everybody and arranged the marriage with Arjuna. So that's an interesting story from the Mahabharata. Yes, but Prabhupada explained that she was the daughter of another wife of Vasudeva. At that time, the Kshatriyas had several wives. And nowadays, better one wife, one life. Or if you're a sannyasi, no wife, one life. So, you know, people should just think about it, be faithful to one wife. I mean, this polygamy business is not kosher. It's not kosher. Like, Prabhupada actually said that. Prabhupada said that, you know, our business is to decrease lust, not to increase lust. Okay. So, thank you very much, Sumukh. And does anyone else have a question? You can type in the text window, or you can raise your hand and I can call on you if you're like to do that. Or you can unmute yourself. Okay. I guess nobody... Oh, Bajalila has a question. Okay. So, unmute yourself.
So, I kind of have two questions, but I'm going to save the other one for another time. I'm kind of, like, wondering why, as Devaki, she says, you come and you act like an ordinary human being just to please your devotees, but isn't that his, like, eternal leela?
Yeah.
Like, he's not acting...
But basically, it's not just to please the devotees, it's to please himself, too. But she sees it like that. She sees that he's very good.
He's acting... Why does she say that he's acting like a normal human being? I guess...
Because she's in the mood of awe and reverence. Whereas Yashodamai, she sees Krishna as... it's a very interesting question you just raised. Because the devotees like Vasudeva and Devaki are worshipping Krishna in a mood of awe and reverence. They understand he's God. And they think he's acting to be their child. Whereas Yashodamai, primary, he's Krishna. And once in a while she says, well, he must have some great powers or whatever. You know, he may be God, but he's my child. Like, so yes, that in the Vaikuntha mood, in the awe and reverent mood, one always has in the back of their mind Krishna as God, and there's awe and reverence there. And Krishna's so kind that he acts as my child. Whereas in Vrindavan, they forget that Krishna's God.
Yeah, it makes sense, actually.
That makes sense. That's the difference between Vrindavan and Dwarka and Mathura, or the Vaikuntha planets.
It's just like the difference of the Ishtadev that makes her think, you know, he's just acting like the...
Yeah, because she realizes he's God.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you had your friend and you understood that your friend, let's say male, female, whatever, was God, and that was always in the back of your mind, you're saying, you know, well, it's so kind you're acting as my friend.
Yeah.
And you know, and also the people go through different emotions. Like Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, when he realizes Krishna is God, which he does once in a while, he says, Krishna, forgive me if, you know, I committed an offense by lying on the bed next to you, you know, and punching you, whatever they did, as friends. Tulsi says Rohini is Subhadra's mother, but Prabhupada said it was another.
it was another wife of Vasudeva anyway. So Tulsi always has her own opinion. So anyway, so if you're always thinking of your friend as being God, then you're very thankful because your friend is stepping down. You're thinking about my friend, your friend is stepping down. Or let's say you have a friend who's the President of the United States. I don't know if that's appropriate, but anyway, depending on who's the president. And he comes, and you deal with him as a friend. Sometimes you're forgetting he's the President of the United States, other times you are. You're thinking, oh, my friend is so kind, even though he's controlling the whole country, that he's actually interacting with me in a very friendly fashion. So Yashoda, Devaki can also go through these different moods from time to time. But generally, in the higher planets where Devaki was there as Aditi, the mother of Vamanadev, and as Prishni, the mother of Prishni Garba, they're understanding their son is God. And he's so kind that he allows me to interact with him in this intimate way. Whereas Vrindavan, they don't think like that. In Vrindavan, they're thinking Krishna is Krishna. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And that's it for tonight. We will see everybody same time, hopefully, if we're in this body. We'll see everybody same time, same station, tomorrow evening. Tomorrow is Tuesday here. Okay, please pray to Krishna. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Whoop. Trying to end the class.